So we'll just take a few minutes here. First thing I want you to do is write down five things that you are doing to make your life better right now. Yeah, that you're doing right now, you know, it could be physical, like exercise. It could be mentally. It could be spiritually. Just five things that you're doing that hopefully will make your life better. Next one is write down the last five books you've read. I guess that would be all right, yeah. I read for intent, not content. In other words, what's the one thing the book is trying to tell me? So I might start at the back and read at the end to get the intent of the book. I don't care so much about the content of a book, and I'm not one to lose myself in a book. I'm going through it very quick and saying, what's the one thing this thing's trying to teach me? But, you know, again, you know, just last five books you've read. You know, some of you, maybe, you know, you're thinking, okay, you're struggling in this area. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, I got out of school in 1980, and I did read some books back then, but since that time, but what it's revealing is this, you not choosing, if you are struggling, if you did struggle in any of these two areas, whether it was books or five things that will make your life better, basically what I'm looking for that will make you a better person, five things that you're doing that will make you a better person. So, but if you're struggling in this area, you not choosing to spend time in ways that will make your life better is revealing. Tells me a lot about you. You not working hard on yourself is very revealing. So what I call this, what I've just given you, I call it the ego test. Here we go again with the ego. Again, ego survives on being right. People would rather die than admit that they're wrong. The ego does not spend its time seeking self-correction. Why? It already believes it's right. So why would you spend any time self-improvement, reading books? It already views itself as right. So that's why I say we go back to this. If you did struggle in these areas, if you are struggling in this area, it's very revealing. You choosing not to spend time on yourself to make you a better person is very revealing about you and your ego. The ego will willingly and cheerfully accept falsehood if there is personal gain. Our ego will willingly accept a lie if there is personal gain. The truth will always be violated for personal gain. We understand that. The reason falsehood is valued in our society is because there's a gain in it. So to give up that gain would seem like a loss. I believe that there is one area where falsehood is valued more than any other area. Now you might say, politics. People love to be lied to. Okay, that's one area. But the one area I'm talking about where falsehood is valued more than anything is religion. Religion. Because there's a gain, you know. God is a God of, you know, let's face it, He requires things of us. He says, do this, don't do that. And if someone comes along and tells me, well, you don't have to do any of that, the law's been nailed to the cross, in my mind, to the ego, there's a gain in that. I don't have to do anything. So falsehood is, there's a gain in it. The truth will always be violated for personal gain. And, I mean, it's sad, but it's absolutely true. The one area where falsehood is valued the greatest is in the area of religion. It's like, tell me a lie. please tell me a lie. Tell me I don't have to do any of this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The first absolute truth you've got to understand is that, number one, we don't want to know the truth. Now, if you don't face that, there's no use going to second base. Until you get that about the ego, you don't want to know the truth. I don't want to know the truth. The ego does not want to know the truth. It likes falsehood for personal gain. The ego never wants to know the truth about self. Now, the ego wants to be right, but it doesn't want to know the truth about self, especially when it comes to correction. People would rather die than admit they're wrong. The ego never wants to know truth about self because, again, that involves correction. So, basically, as human beings, we get up and we say, man, I really want to lie to myself today. I am looking forward to lying to myself today. You know, someone might say, well, I'm a self-actualizing person. I know what I want. I'm the most authentic person you'll ever meet. That's the ego talking. That's pure, raw ego right there. No, it's not true. So the first thing we must know is the truth about ourselves, and that involves reality in all its ugliness. We don't want to know the truth. The ego does not want to know the truth. The ego will always align with falsehood, especially when it benefits me. Will always align with falsehood. Let me give you some examples. You may be wondering, okay, give me an example of this. You ever been like what I call a third-person observer? You're standing in a line, maybe a grocery shopping line, and you overhear a couple people talking. You pretend like you're not listening. You know, you're just sitting there and you're just and you're enjoying every moment of it as these two people interact with one another. And you ever had someone, you know, you hear two people, and the one is stroking the other person's ego. You know, they're saying something like, wow, you sing so beautifully. Wow, you're just wonderful. And you're thinking, why is that person telling that person that? Why is that person stroking that person's ego? Or you're so beautiful, or you're so smart. You ever watched that? You know, someone stroking someone else's ego, and the person that is being stroked is just loving it. It's just, oh, yes, you know, the big, oh, yeah, oh, thank you so much. You know, it's just, it's, but as a third person observer, you're thinking, this is sick. You realize what the person's doing, and you realize the other person is so, you know, accepting it all. You've seen that many times. I'll never forget, a long time ago, I made myself sick. Of course, I made myself sick many times in my past life, but I was introducing some special music a long time ago. So this goes way back. Don't think it's here. And I said something like, I'm honored to introduce to you so-and-so who's going to be doing special music. I'm honored. I was lying through my teeth. The guy sounded like a high-pitched hyena singing. I was not honored to do that at all. You know, and yet, my ego, you know, oh, I'm honored to do this, you know, I'm going to introduce so-and-so. I wasn't real. I wasn't authentic. Now, if you want to know what happens when the ego is confronted, there's a show, and I forget the name of it, America's Got Talent. Simon. What is he on? Simon. American Idol. You ever watched him when he tells someone, Simon, you sing like a goat? Who ever told you got talent? And these people are crushed. Their ego is crushed because someone all of their entire lives told them, you can sing. You're good at this. You know, you're good. And he comes along and just, boom, crushes the ego. If you ever watch that, it's a fascinating commentary on mankind. You know, you just look and you think, oh, man, I can't believe he's saying that. But the ego is crushed, you know. So what I want to look at today, and this is going to be, I'm going to ask you to do something here that's going to be tough. To really dig deeper inside of yourself and to go where no man, very few men have ever gone before. This is going to somewhat seem a little bit far out here, especially as my model here. I've got a model here I'm going to try to explain to you. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, you don't have to turn there. It's a familiar scripture. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If there was ever a scripture that talks of our ego, that's it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It goes on to say, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." So what I'm going to be trying to do today is to illustrate how to use the ego for your benefit. The goal is to go in, as you examine our ego, my personal ego, is to go deeper into conversion. To ask, okay, what's the ego trying to tell me? To trick the ego. Okay, to trick the ego. Now, I want to begin with a little statement that is fascinating. It says this. It says, "You can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You are only projecting something inside of you." Let me repeat that. You can't observe anything out there unless it's something within you. You are only projecting something inside of you. Okay. I see, and I can tell you're thinking, what is he talking about? What is it that enables you to identify a hypocrite? We can do it like that. Do you know what it is that enables you to identify a hypocrite? It's something inside of you called hypocrisy that enables you to identify a hypocrite. So you can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You're only projecting something inside of you. Now, I have a model here of, I think, the way maybe we operate. First of all, we have, now, for the audio program, you know, there's no visuals here. I'm going to have to explain this. But this is a model I have laid out. Here is a head. The head represents your head, your heart, your mind. And you notice we've got some wires running off, some connections here to the top of your head. The wires go in, you know, here, and then they go into the computer, what I'm going to call the circuit board, the mainframe, you know, I guess that's sort of your circuit board or whatever. And then out of the circuit board, we have a cord that is running to a projector. And it's what you are projecting. Something starts here in the head, your head here. Whatever is in here, your heart, it goes to the circuit board and comes out, and the projection, you project. Now, a lot of times what happens is, what's in here, what's in your head, what's in your heart, by the time it goes through the circuit board and gets all scrambled up, it comes out the exact opposite of what you wanted. You're projecting something that you're thinking, that's not in my heart, I didn't, you know, and you're projecting something quite different upon the world. Now, to change your reality, you must change what you're projecting. It's referred to as the law of attraction. You are attracting, you attract what you project, whatever comes your way, the law of attraction. And the only way things will ever change is when you get sick and tired of attracting what you've been attracting all of your life. People, money, take your pick, anything. The law of attraction. Someone said this, you are creating your reality. Anyone that shows up in your life is your creation. The outer world is somewhat a projection. Thus, you are 100% responsible for everything and everyone that you experience. Whatever comes into your life is your making. That's the law of attraction. You have to accept full responsibility for the things that come into your life. People, experiences, whatever. Take your pick. Now, let me illustrate it a little bit better here. I'm married to Teresa right there. Teresa's my wife. I got in Teresa exactly what I wanted. I mean, exactly. It started here, went through here, and what I projected was the woman right there. That's exactly what I wanted. And she could probably say the same thing of me. She got exactly what she was projecting, what she wanted. She attracted me, I attracted her. It was the law of attraction. Now this all sounds great, does it not? Until you realize that someone might say, well, wait a minute, I can't stand my wife. I hate my husband. You mean I attracted that? That was the projection? What? This woman I can't stand? So it's all great when it works. Well, it always works. Let me tell you, it always works. But sometimes we don't like the results of what we're getting. And in other words, when we attract a bad relationship, you know, divorce, I think of divorce, you know, Jesus said the only reason for divorce was fornication. And I think one of the reasons he said that is because he realized that it, you know, if you go out and do it all over again, you'll get the exact same thing because you're projecting the exact same thing in a person. And until you change your projection, you're just going to go through attracting the same kind of person. You know, so you do know that the second marriage, you know, the first one starts out 50% chance it will fail. The second marriage, it goes up to over 60% chance that the relationship will fail. Because nothing changes in what we're attracting. And we have to change that. So I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to everyone according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing. Whatever you are projecting is what you'll get. Now let's look at some areas here. Your poverty is your projection. What are you, I mean, when it comes to money, what are you projecting? One thing I've noticed about people who are poor, they think poor. It's like, oh no, we can't buy that stick of chewing gum. It's going to cost 25 cents. It'll throw the whole budget off. And what are we going to do? And they go around, and what they are projecting is exactly what they're getting in life. Whatever you project, it's what you're going to get in return. If I could project through this a picture of poverty, that's what you're putting out. That's what you get in return. sometimes, how's business? Oh, business is, oh boy, have you heard the economy? Man, it's terrible, it's rotten, it's filthy, it's no good, the economy's no good, you know. My business, you know, it isn't that good, you know. And it's almost we get high off these kinds of statements or something. It's like we think that's what other people want to hear or something, you know. And that's what you'll get if that's what you're projecting. Whatever you project is what you'll get. And I heard on the news, boy, did you listen to the news? One of the things about all of these motivational tapes I listen to, all of them will have one thing in common. They say, quit watching the news. Just quit watching it. Unless your goal is to be depressed. Because think about it, what can you do about the value of the dollar? What can you do about the economy? Nothing. So why do you take it in, the negative stuff? I mean, is it fun? Are you getting something out of it? What are you projecting when it comes to money? I am convinced that if you've got enough people with one accord, projecting a depression, one week later you would have a depression. If you could just get enough people projecting a depression, it's bad, it's going to get worse, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. With one accord, all thinking right here, going through this, projecting a depression, in 1 week you would have a depression. I was listening, it was Napoleon Hill, he was one of the first, I guess, motivational speakers. He was talking about when America began to come out of the depression, I think it was Roosevelt that got some of his best men together. And they were in unison on this. They all agreed, okay, this is what we need to do. And they went out and they got, if I can remember the story correctly, they got some of the biggest churches across the land, preachers. They got the media, radio, the written media, the newspapers, the magazines, to all begin to publish that America was coming out of the Depression. Now, you can call it manipulation of the media. You can call it what you want to. But they all, with one accord, the preachers began to talk about how that America was coming out of the Depression. The radio, they were talking about that. The written media, after a little while, started to come out of the Depression. Now, again, I think about this. What is it to this law of attraction, what we are projecting as a people? You sort of get, you know, it's the power of, I don't know what you call it, power of positive thinking. You know, you could say, well, that wasn't right, that they, but whether it was true or not, the results was America began to come out of that depression. Now, maybe that wasn't the only reason, but again, what are we projecting as a people? I found that a lot of people want bad things to happen. Do you know why a lot of people want bad things to happen? They want the economy to go to bits and pieces. You know why? Do you know why? Their lives are a wreck. They're living in misery. And so if I can just see the economy go down the tubes in the whole world, I'm not so bad after all. I'm pretty good, you know? What you are projecting often is just an excuse. Did you know it's easier to project poverty than it is success? It really is. It's easy to think, man, I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be poor the rest of my life. I might as well get used to it. And it can be an excuse. What we're projecting can be just an excuse for that purpose. Let's look at some excuses. Stress. How many of you got some stress going on in your life? There's no such thing as stress. You think it's stress? Go get me a 5-gallon bucket of stress and bring it here next Sabbath. Let me see stress. Stress is, I figured this out finally. Stress is caused by putting too much on yourself. That's what it. And who's putting it on yourself? You are. You know, you're putting too much on yourself. But did you know stress can be an excuse not to do the more important things? Well, you know, I know I should take my son to the baseball game, but look, I got all this work to do today, and I've got to get it done. If you would look at everything that frustrates you, that upsets you, that gets to you as an excuse, you will get a lot further in life. That you're using it as an excuse. You're using it as a crutch. Everything that comes in my life now that upsets me, I'm thinking, using that as an excuse not to do something more important? What's going on with you? Another excuse is there's not enough time. I just don't have enough time. Did you know that the average millionaire and the bum on the street has the exact same amount of time? Both have the same time. It's just an excuse not to do the more important things. Now, I want to go back to the law of attraction. Again, I know this is mind-boggling, but let's listen to it again. Anyone that shows up in your life is your creation. The outer world is just a projection. Thus, you are 100% responsible for everything and everyone that you experience. Your friends, the people that come into your life, the people that take advantage of you. That's what you're projecting. And you have to accept 100% responsibility for that. Now, I want to tell you personal. I got a lot of personal stories here. Because believe me, what I was projecting, you know, I knew what was in my heart, what I wanted, what I was thinking, And what I was projecting is the exact opposite of what was in there. And I'll tell you how that happens. Sometimes in here, things get scrambled up in a circuit board. And what comes out is something that you don't like. And you get the things you don't like in life. When I was a teenager, I didn't know much about business, and we had a rented warehouse where we would make rock. And the rock, you know, we had about 60 molds, I guess, and they all stacked up so high, about three rows of them. And I had a good friend that worked for me. I thought he was a good friend. And I would make money off of getting him to work for me and fill these molds. I made money off of each mold that was filled. We were casting rock. You take a little bit of cement and you pour it in these cavities and you let it dry overnight, and the next day you take it out. Well, come to find out that this guy, my friend, was, he was, imagine the three stacks of molds here, 20 stack, 20 row each. He would just fill the top three. He would pop out the top three molds of rock, fill the top 10 or 9, and then turn in that he had filled all of the molds. He was cheating me. He was a liar. He was a thief. And about that time, I forget exactly how this happened, but I think I might have had another guy. Maybe it was Barry, my friend, on the weekend coming in and doing the same thing. I think I must have had two different people doing that job. Maybe Barry was coming in on the weekend and doing the same job. And the guy called me. And he got upset. I mean, and I'm the boss. And he's fussing at me. What are you doing and getting someone else in that warehouse? I'm the king of that warehouse. And just fussing at me. And my mother picked up the phone about that time. I didn't know that. She overheard the conversation of this guy just... And I'm the boss. She said, David, don't you ever let someone talk to you like that. You're the boss. It's good advice. Good advice. Now, you can see why he didn't want that other guy in the warehouse. He was cheating me. The other guy would find out his secret that he was ripping me off. But here, I told you that entire story to tell you this. That guy that came into my life was exactly what I was attracting. The projection. I was projecting an attitude that said, take advantage of me. I'm not going to do anything about it. Just take advantage of me. I don't care. That's what I was projecting. And I got exactly what I was projecting. Someone comes along and takes advantage of you. It's my fault. That's why this says you are 100% responsible for anything that comes into your life. You have to take full responsibility for it. I was projecting, why don't you take advantage of me? You know, a lot of women project this. Why don't you take advantage of me? Why don't you use me as an object? And they get exactly what, now they may not know in their heart, they may not want that. But when it goes through here, it comes out as a projection, and they get something that they didn't really want. They wanted to find a good man up here in the head, in the heart, and what they got was something. Now, I'll try to explain how that happens here in a few minutes, how it gets all twisted around to the opposite with another story. But when you change your projection, your life changes. Now, I want to tell you another little story that I've shared with you before. This one really blew me away. It took some... Now again, I'm asking you to go deep inside of yourself and ask you, why are the people, why are the circumstances, why are these things coming into my life? Because if you can handle this, you are getting what you are attracting. You are getting what you are projecting. You can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You are only projecting something inside of you. There was a woman, that elderly woman, that she really liked me. I couldn't stand her. just kidding. She was a misery lover. She was a hypochondriac, always sick. And she would call me at the strangest times, you know, when I was at work, when I was up on scaffolding, and she would want to talk to me. And I'd ask her, I'd say, how you doing? And she'd say, trying to breathe. And I'm thinking, how does that work? You either do it or you don't do it. How do you try to breathe? You know, it's like it was exercise. You ever seen those exercise? The women are exercising, and they'll say, don't forget to breathe. And I'm thinking, you know, I would love to make a skit of that. Have the guy turning purple in the face. And say, oh, I forgot to breathe. You know, but she, I'm trying to breathe. And I thought, the thing I struggled with was, I'm not a hypochondriac. I'm not a misery lover. I'm not looking for sympathy. How have I attracted this woman into my life? And I realized as I did the soul searching, and that's what I'm asking you to do the soul searching. I was projecting a sort of a woe is me. Yeah, ain't it awful? Everything is awful. The world's awful. It's an awful place to live. And not that I was projecting I'm sick or anything, but I was projecting an ain't it awful, poor, poor, pitiful attitude. I was also projecting a nice guy. I'm all ears. I'm just here to listen to your every grievance. I also had a perverted concept of the ministry. To me, a minister was, he's just like a friend that, you know, he goes to the hospital, holds your hand. Oh, yeah. He just listens to everything about you, and he just tries to offer you a little bit of encouragement, and he never corrects anything. I had a perverted concept of what the minister was. And I was trying to live, and I was projecting that upon her. And I got exactly what I was projecting in my life. Took me years to figure that out. How did this person come into my life? Why? Because like in my head, you know, I wasn't like that. You know, I'm not into misery. I'm not into laziness and listening to sob stories and things like that. I'm not into that. So, but what happens somehow when it goes into the circuit board, you know, your circuit board, don't try to figure your circuit board out. Someone's gone in there through 40 years of your life and just pulled these out and put them here and stuck them in and just messed it all up. Only God can fix this. Don't you focus on the circuit board. You focus on what's in your heart, what you want, and then you focus on what you're projecting. If what you want and what's in your heart, if you're projecting the exact opposite, something's wrong with you. Something's dreadfully wrong with you. And you need to get these two in harmony to make sure what's in this heart and head, you are, as you go through life, projecting that. And you'll get what you want out of life. You're projecting poverty. Ain't it awful? That's what's going to come into your life. You're projecting, you know, I'm just a weasel to listen to you, take advantage of me. That's exactly what you'll get. Whatever you're projecting is what you'll get. Another story. I have a lot of stories here about myself. One big screwed up life, I'll tell you that. There was many years ago, there was some people that came to church and they, to me, they were never satisfied with church. Everything we stood for, they disagreed with. They didn't like the doctrines, they liked us, we were nice people. but they did, and what I kept asking was, why would people come to a church and they disagreed with everything? Don't they know that the hinges are greased well enough to go back and forth? They can leave? You know, imagine yourself, what church do you go to? I go to a church where I disagree with everything they teach. Does that make sense? You want to be a part of a church like that? And I kept thinking, why am I attracting this type of person into the church? And I realized, here we go again. Because that was not in my heart. What was in my heart, they would say things, you know, some kind of concept they had. And, you know, and I'm thinking right here, I'm thinking, boy, that's crazy. But what I'm projecting is, really? That's interesting. Well, I never thought of that. What I'm thinking, what I'm projecting is two different things. I realized I was projecting a, I will pacify your every need and desire attitude. I was projecting that the church would change to fit their concept of what the church should be. That's what I was projecting. It was not what was in my heart or what I was thinking, but that's what I was projecting. You want to be authentic? You got to get these two in harmony. Don't try to figure out the circuit board or the circus board. Yeah, well, that's a better word, circus board, because that stuff is messed up inside. I'll tell you, only God can figure that one out. But you take a look at what's in your heart, what you're really thinking, and what you're actually projecting, and get those two in harmony. Often we mimic other people's projection. If I could set another one up just like that over here, pointing that way. You know, we mimic other people's projection. Some people, person comes along, yeah, it's awful. Yeah, it's sure is terrible. Yeah, you know, life sucks. And it's just, yeah, it sure does. And we're just sort of mimicking each other's projection there for no reason. We just like doing it, you know. We think it's what they want to hear. You know, we need to get to the point where we say, look, life may suck for you, but it doesn't for me. I've got God on my side. We need to project what's really in our heart. Now, the next one. This was a toughie for me. For years, the guys on the street that had the sign, "Will work for food," drove me nuts. I would rant and rage for hours. They'd be at the busiest place. You know, I'd be at my favorite store, Sam's, and I'd be coming out of there. And it was a busy intersection. And I would see the guy with his little sign, "We'll work for food." And I'd be behind a car, and I would notice that car would pull out a $5 bill. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to say, "Get a job!" You know, it drove me crazy. And I thought, again, I'm asking you to go deeper inside of yourself. You want a deeper conversion? You got to look at some of this stuff and what you're projecting. As I looked at this one, I thought, wait a minute. I am not a bum. I am not lazy. Why does that drive me crazy? And as I searched and looked deep inside myself, I realized, what does the guy on the street that has a sign, "We'll work for food," what does he want? He wants something for nothing. As I looked inside of me, I said, "David, you also want something for nothing from God. You know, Lord, just take it away. I can't deal with it. This sin, this addiction, this thing I'm struggling with, just take it away, Lord. I wanted something for nothing from God." I wasn't much different than the bum on the street. Again, you can't see, you know, you can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You're only projecting something inside of you. Religion being people being hypocrites. You see this because of your own hypocrisy. Religious people majoring in minors. That's something else that killed me. You see this because you have used many distractions to avoid a real relationship with God. Outreach. People are spiritually dead. The reason you see this in others is because part of your own relationship with God is non-responsive. The opportunity to go deeper. The opportunity for deeper conversion. To figure out what's really going on inside of you. You can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You are only projecting something inside of you. Anyone that shows up in your life is your creation. The outer world is just a projection. You are 100% responsible for everything and everyone that you experience. Your friends, the people that you come into your life, the people that take advantage of you. And you see, you can't do this one. Well, God, you can't blame God for these people. Well, Lord, why did you send this person to my life? No, it's your creation. Chances are, you know, your head told you, don't trust that guy. You can't trust him as far as you can throw him. And what come out in your projection was, you know, I really feel sorry for him. I think I ought to give him a chance. That's what come out, the projection. And you got what you were projecting. Someone that took advantage of you. You are not at the mercy of happenstance in dealing with people. It just doesn't happen to you. You can't really blame anyone for this. And until you get to the harmony of what's in your head, what you really feel is in your heart, and you have to examine these two. Make sure you're projecting what's really in here in life. Make sure you are authentic. You got to come to the point where, like God said, I am that I am. It doesn't get any more authentic than that. This is what I am. Keep an eye on what you're projecting. On a regular basis, make sure those two are in line, in harmony with one another. Make sure, don't try to figure this out. Make sure these two are in harmony, in your head, in your heart, and what you're projecting. Now, if you do this, you will be, people will say, you're abrasive. People will say, well, you're lacking the love of Jesus. People will say, you're hard-nosed. Maybe you'll be like a Simon. People will say, you're not a Christian. That's not Christian behavior. Get used to it. At least you'll be real. At least you'll be authentic. At least you'll be in a position for God to use you. To change your reality, you must change what you're projecting. And so I think, you know, I go in here to this computer, and my analogy is breaking down because I referred to this as a circuit board, but now I'm sort of referring to it as a, you know, the guts of your psychic or your psychological mind or whatever. But let's say you want to change your projection on money. Here's money. See that $100 bill? Money. You take the software, you pop it in here, and if this was hooked up, we could actually do this. We could show a picture of money right there. And you change your projection about money. Maybe you think, well, I believe people should get something for nothing. You change that projection about money. Just simply change your projection about money. You know, you... how you view money, how God can bless you. I heard of a story about a guy that he was in a business deal with someone. The guy owed him about $10,000, and it looked like the guy was not going to give him his money. He was out of $10,000. And he basically said, you know, I can get this money from other sources. The God of the universe who owns it all money, can find another way for this money to come into my possession. And he was willing just to let it go. The amazing thing, once he let it go and forgave, the guy called him up a couple days later and said, I got your money. This went on for years, by the way. But how do we view money? Do we view money, you know, as that sweat on my brow and a paycheck? That's it. Or do we worship a God that owns it all and can, you know, money can come from many different places? Have we changed our projection about money and finances? Can we expand ourselves in that area? Well, let's say, you know, people. People. That's a blurred image of people, by the way. You don't like people in your life. Change your projection, you know, about what do you expect out of, do you expect, is it a Christian virtue for people to take advantage of you? Is God going to say, boy, you, 50 people took advantage of you, and I really, you're, that's really great. Change your projection about that. What do you expect out of, do you expect people? I mean, what's your, we should live by a higher standard of this. Look, I expect something really great from you. Not negative. Not to take advantage of me. I expect you to be a winner. Change your projection about people. What about the world? What's your projection of the world? I have a beautiful picture of grass and blue skies. Change your projection about the world. You know, for me, I think back as a child, I think of the song by Louis Armstrong, "What a Wonderful World." I think of Ray Stevens, "Everything is beautiful in its own way." I used to have that. And a strange thing, when God called me, I started looking at the world rather negatively. You know, it's full of sin. It's ugly. It's sinners, and everything's wrong with the world. And I would think about everything that's wrong with the world, and I had a very ugly view of the world. And I'm telling you, if you've got an ugly view of the world, that's exactly what you'll get. If that's what you're projecting, that's what you're going to get. And you will never see any good in anything. If your projection of the world is rotten, filthy, bad, sin, rotten, filthy, bad, sin, it's just rotten all over. That's what you'll get if you're projecting that. You get whatever you're projecting. And you never see any good. So, how to use your ego for your benefit, a deeper conversion, what the ego is trying to tell you, to trick the ego. You can't observe anything out there unless it is within you. You are only projecting something inside of yourself. I'm asking you to do that soul searching and to realize what you're getting out of life is what you've been projecting. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the first truth that we got to understand is we don't really want to know the truth about the ego. The ego never wants to know the truth about self. But if we can use this model that I have here, if we can get to the place where these two, what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what you really want, that's what you're projecting. If we can get those two in harmony, you know, you can't sell what you don't have. And you know, if you don't get these two in harmony, if you're thinking, okay, what's in my mind and heart, I'm projecting the exact opposite of that. You know what you are? You're a fake, you're a fraud, you're a hypocrite. If you don't get those two in harmony, you're not real, you're not authentic. And I believe with all my heart that we can do better than this, that we can get these two in harmony by God's grace. And we can begin to see some real changes in our life. I love this little statement that I read earlier, and that is that you are 100% responsible for everything and everyone that you experience. There is no one that we can blame. And God is about accepting total, full responsibility for our actions and to become that authentic person that we've been called to be.